New songs for a new year. That's our topic today on Summons, as Pastor Terry Gray begins this holiday week with a strongly encouraging message. You don't want to miss what's ahead today on Summons.
As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise.
Thanks for joining us today as we present a special New Year's message from Pastor Terry Gray. Psalm 40 will be our text as we find that David's words offer promise for relief from the depression and defeat that may be dominating your life. We'll also be hearing about one of Pastor Terry's favorite New Year's activities in today's message, and we'll be directed to look up and find hope, regardless of what your current situation is in the final week of 2002. This message was recorded at the services of Calvary Chapel, Sun City. So let's open our Bibles to the Book of Psalms. New Songs for a New Year is the title of our message.
Another New Year's Eve, soon to be upon us. Are you ready to live another year? And I think God has some wonderful plans for all of us in this coming year. You know, I love bringing in a new year because it really is like starting over, isn't it? You get a clean slate, you get to start afresh, start anew. I love that. You may think I'm crazy, but one of my favorite things to do on New Year's Day is to actually go to my file cabinet and purge it from files. You know, all those bills and statements and papers that have accumulated throughout the year. I love to take those guys out, put them in a box over here, write the year on it, and put it up on the shelf somewhere. And then put new files in its place and get organized and look ahead. It's time to start over. I love to do that spiritually as well. I love to reflect on all that God has done in my life in the last year. And I like to rejoice in the blessings, learn from the mistakes, and go into the next year as a wiser man with new vision, with new goals, with a strong desire to see God do something fresh in my heart. That is my prayer this morning for all of us. My prayer is that the Lord would put new songs in our hearts this coming year. That we would all allow Him to work afresh, to work new, a new song to sing as an individual Christian, new songs to sing as families, new songs to sing as a church. So I've brought you to Psalm 40 this morning, the first three verses, where we see the Lord giving King David a new song to sing. Let's read these verses, beginning in verse 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, obviously, David has just been at a crisis point in his life. He's just been through some horrible kind of situation, some horrible circumstance, a tough deal. You know, David was one of those guys that faced many crises in his life. You see that as you read many of the Psalms that he authored. He got in tight spots. And he's just been in a tight spot here. And notice how he refers to this conflict. Verse 2. He, the Lord, also brought me out of a horrible pit. That's how he refers to a situation that he's just been in. It's a horrible pit. I've just been in a hole, he says. I've been in the hole, if you will. pit is a word that is also translated in the Old Testament as a well or a cistern. Throughout the land in Israel, often there would be cisterns and wells dug all over the place. These long, deep holes that went all the way down to the waterbed from which people could draw water. He says, I've been in one of those. And oftentimes those cisterns and fountains were used as temporary holding spots for prisoners. They were like dungeons. In fact, Jeremiah the prophet had to spend some time in a place just like that. That's how David's feeling. I've just been in a watery pit. I've been at the bottom of a well. He also says, I've been in the miry clay, the mud. It's been slippery. The idea is, here he is at the bottom of this pit and there's no hope for him to get himself out. There's no way he could climb up because the walls are filled with slick, oozy, slippery mud. Miry clay. So if he were to try to get himself out of that, it would be impossible. He couldn't climb. He couldn't get a footing. He'd just slide down again into the muddy soup. That's where he is, a pit, and he can't get out of it. And David was just forced to wait until someone would walk along and get him out of the pit. And that's what he does, for he says in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's his situation. He's in a pit. He can't get out. The only thing he can do is wait patiently for the Lord. What a vivid way to describe a horrible situation. Maybe that describes a situation that you've been in this last year, or perhaps that describes a situation that you are in right now. You feel like you're in a pit. There's no hope. How do I get myself out? You know, one of the hardest things to do at times like that is to just patiently wait on the Lord. But we must, and David did. Now, we don't know exactly what this situation was. This may have been the time that David was being hunted throughout the land of Israel by King Saul and his army. You remember that? David was treated like a rat in a hole. He had to travel from cave to cave as Saul was pursuing him. He probably felt much like Osama bin Laden feels today, though Osama should rightly feel that way. But maybe it was a tough circumstance like that. Maybe it was a difficulty like that. And he's trapped and he feels like he can't get out. Maybe that's you. You're in a financial problem. Some illness or some sin that you struggle with or some problem or whatever it might be. It may have been that this was a time in his life when he was being pursued by some other enemy. You know, David had lots of enemies. Or perhaps it was a very personal family problem. You remember David was actually betrayed by one of his sons, Absalom, who wanted to overthrow his kingdom. Perhaps he's thinking about that, or maybe it's some other family problem. You know, David had lots of problems in his family as he got older because of poor choices that he had made earlier. Maybe it was depression. Whatever it was, he feels trapped. But the Lord, in his own way, at his own time, delivers. Verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. I love that, and I believe that shows the heart of God towards his people, especially people that are in a time of crisis. That's his heart towards you, my friend. You're in a pit, you're in a hole, you can't get out. He wants to incline to you. David said, he inclined to me. And you know what that means? I love this. It means he stooped. He bended. He bowed down. That's God's heart. He gets on your own level. He'll stoop to your own level and come to you in your mess and pick you up out of that mess. Isn't that beautiful? You know, as a father of three children, very small children, 3, 2, and 1, I am always looking for meaningful ways to communicate to them. And I have found that the most effective way to communicate with little kids is to get on their own level. And you know what that means? That means you have to bend and stoop and get on your knees and look at them at eye level. I have found that when I'm standing above Connor or Lindsay or Dylan, I sort of tower above them. And I often wonder what I look like from their perspective. There's Father the Giant. and I say, Connor, and my voice booms and they're scared. But when I get down on my knees and I grab their little cheeks and I look them in the eyes at eye level, oh, I've seen communication blossom. That's when they pay attention, and that is God's heart towards you, wanting to stoop down, wanting to get on your own level. It says there that he inclined to me and he heard my cry. Can you just picture David in this pit? Help! Anyone up there? Can anyone hear me up there? Have you ever felt like that? Well, I'll let you know this morning, the Lord hears your cry. He hears the cries of his people. He's an awesome father. He hears the cries of his children. What father or mother ignores the cries of their children? Think about that. When our children cry, man, we go flying. In fact, I think my wife Kim sort of has a bionic hearing ability. It's the motherly instinct. We can be in the back room talking and all of a sudden, and she's out the door. She hears someone crying out in the backyard. She wants to find out who's fallen down or who's gotten hurt or who's hit who. She responds. The Lord responds to our cries. He doesn't ignore them. The other night I was up late. And basically in the middle of the night, my thirdborn, one-year-old Dylan, just blurted out a cry. He just started crying. And I could even hear that one even without the motherly instinct. And so I ran into the room and I ran to the crib and looked in. And I don't know how he did this, but he had somehow managed to basically mummify himself in his blanket. He had gotten his blanket so twisted around him and he looked like he was in a straitjacket. And he was just, ugh! Crying. And you know what? I responded. I came and I unwrapped him. I picked him up. I gave him a hug and a kiss. I laid him down and I put that blanket back over him. And he looked up at me and kind of went, ah, thanks. That's the heart of God towards you. He hears your cry. He wants to stoop. He wants to meet you at your own level. That's his heart. And you know what? He will act. He did act with David. David says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Don't you love that? David got out of the pit. No longer on shaky ground, but solid ground. No longer in a slippery situation, but in a rock-solid state. Now again, we don't know exactly how the Lord did this. It may have been that the Lord miraculously delivered him from whatever circumstance he was facing. Perhaps he miraculously delivered him from some enemy, as he did many times in the life of David. That could be. Or, instead of changing the circumstance, God may have changed the man, David. Perhaps God gave David a heart, gave him strength like he never knew before, and there was something that took place in the inner man that gave him strength so he's able to endure that situation until it resolved in its own time by natural, providential means. That could have happened. Either way, David came out of that situation a stronger man, with firm footsteps, established steps. God had done something fresh. God did something in his heart. God gave him a new song to sing. You see that in verse 3? David says, he's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. David before was singing the song of despair, singing the blues. But after this situation, God delivered him, gave him a strong foothold. He's singing a new song, a song of praise to our God. I love it. And you know that something very significant happened in the heart of David. Through that situation, whatever it was, and through that deliverance, and deep in his soul, a new song was born. And it changed him. And he had a new look and perspective on life. That is the type of song that I am speaking about this morning. That is the type of song that I'd like you to have. I'm praying that God would give you a fresh, new song. And you know what's interesting about this song is that God gave David this new song, and that this new song was then used in the lives of other people. God would use this new song that he gave David to comfort and encourage and help other people. Notice at the beginning of this psalm, lots of times you have little inscriptions before you get into the text. And in my Bible, it says that this song was given to the chief musician. Do you see that in your Bibles? To the chief musician. Notice, this was a poem or a song that was written by David. And after it was completed, he gave it not to just to any musician, but to the chief musician, the expert, the anointed worship leader who led the congregation of Israel in praise unto God. This was not just any song. This was a deep song. And because it had so much meaning and power behind it, it was given to the chief musician. And I am convinced that that chief musician played this song, whatever it was, before the congregation of Israel. And it was used mightily by the Lord. See, that's what God likes to do with the new songs that he gives us. And you know what? I think David had a sense of this. In verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. David had this sense that people would see the deliverance that he's just been through. That people would see the new man that he now was. That many people would hear this new song that was born in his heart. Many would see it and fear the Lord and trust in the Lord. That's neat. David in a pit. David can't get out of the pit. The Lord comes and delivers him out of the pit, puts a new song in his heart because of the pit, and then that song is used powerfully in the lives of other people who might be in the same pit. That's neat. You know, I think that's a pattern. I think that's why you and I sometimes go through the hard things that we do. Some of us go through things that we never dreamed that we would go through. We're in a pit. God does a work in our lives, and you know what? Sometimes he gives us a new song, and that song will be sung. Your new song, your new message, your new testimony that God might want to use powerfully in the lives of other people. You know, some of the most amazing songs were born out of sorrow. Did you know that? Tragedies. And a lot of those songs that were born out of sorrow are also the same songs that are used very powerfully by the Lord in the lives of other people. There was a man by the name of Horatio G. Spafford. He was a successful Chicago lawyer, but he lost most of his wealth in the financial crisis of 1873. That same year, or later on that year, he sent his wife and four daughters on a trip to France, but on their way, their ship was struck by another and sank. Of 225 passengers, only 87 of them survived. Mrs. Spafford was among the survivors, but the four daughters perished. As soon as she reached land, she telegraphed to her husband, "Saved alone, children lost, what shall I do?" Spafford left for France to join his wife and return with her to Chicago. In the depth of this bereavement, he wrote the only hymn that he ever wrote, entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul." Perhaps the words of the first stanza will take on new meaning for you as you ponder them. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Now that's a song that came from sorrow. But what a testimony that how God was able to get that man through it. And how that song is still used in so many people's lives today. We need new songs in our hearts this year. And not necessarily songs that come from sorrows. But as we go into this new year, let's ask the Lord to give us new songs. And here's what I want to do. I would like to apply these three verses to different areas of our life this morning. To different roles that we play, if you will. And first of all, I'd like to apply these verses to our country. And to you and I as citizens of the United States of America. You know, the year 2001 will forever be remembered by what happened on September 11th. On September 11th, a dark cloud descended upon our nation. We will never forget the images that we saw on TV, ever. We will never forget the fear that we felt as we watched our country being attacked, ever. And right now in this country, we are incredibly aware that we live in a world that is filled with evil, violence, destruction. We've seen it happen, and we know that we live in a place where there's potential for more of that to happen. Man, I think on September 11th, the United States of America sort of got into a hole. There's miry clay. And I think it's caused a lot of people to look up, God. And I think more people are willing to wait on the Lord now. Listen, I want you to know this morning that God's heart towards America is the same as the heart that he expressed toward David. You know God wants to stoop down. You know God hears our cries, and God wants to move down and deliver us out of that pit, set our feet on the rock, establish our steps as a country. He wants to do that. And I believe the Lord is working. I am convinced that God is working through our president and through the leaders of our country in our noble effort to rid the world of terrorism. I'm all for that. In fact, President Bush has said that he actually feels like this is his calling in life. He actually feels like this is the reason he has been born, to go after terrorism. It's a divine call upon his life. And I'm behind him. Anything that we can do to rid the world of terrorism, make the world a safer place, and I think the Lord is moving in that. But listen, I also believe that at this time, it is essential that as a country, we begin singing a new song, a new tune. As a country, we need to let the Lord put a new song in our mouths. You know, for too long, we've been singing the song that Frank Sinatra made famous. I did it my way. Oh, barfo. Our country has been singing the praises of human achievement, materialistic wealth, an awesome economy. We've been singing the praises of our technological advances. And you know what? We have pushed God out of our schools, out of our government, out of our court systems, out of our communities. We haven't been singing his praises. And you know what? I think as the United States of America, we should sing a new song as a result of what's happened. A new song, one of praise to our God.
We'll pick up right here in our studies on Tuesday. You've been listening to Summons with Pastor Terry Gray, and we're pausing from our studies of Colossians to present this special New Year's message. Join us on Tuesday when we'll conclude the teaching, New Songs for a New Year. Remember, if you'd like to obtain a CD or cassette copy of this complete message, you can order one by calling 587-4008. The cost for each tape or CD is $5, and that includes the cost of postage. Again, call 587-4008 and mention today's date. Before we close today, let me direct you to the Calvary Chapel Sun City website. The address is calvarychapel.org/Sun City. Here, you'll find full information about Calvary Chapel Sun City activities, events, outreaches, and ministries. The address again is calvarychapel.org/Sun City. Summons is presented each weekday at this time by Calvary Chapel Sun City. Calvary Chapel Sun City is located at 3945 Donovan Park, Suite G. For further information and directions, call 587-4008. And plan to join us tomorrow at this time for our next broadcast of Summons. New Year's Eve pointed in the right direction. Stay tuned for new songs for a new year. That's our theme today on Summons, a daily radio program from Calvary Chapel Sun City.
As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles. We will stand up straight. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise.
Welcome to Summons, the radio program presented by Calvary Chapel Sun City and featuring our teacher, Pastor Terry Gray. In our study today, Pastor Terry will continue our review of the 40th Psalm, where we find a contrast between David's depressed condition and the hope that God offers. Some people think that the Christian life should never bring us to depression or despair, but experience and the Bible record says otherwise. Men and women who walk close with God frequently struggle greatly, but the Bible also records the power and hope that God provides to look up and climb out of whatever pit we may have stumbled into. Our message title today is New Songs for a New Year, and I'm certain you'll find encouragement ahead as we study Psalm 40. And now, here's Pastor Terry Gray.
Man, I think on September 11th, the United States of America sort of got into a hole. There's miry clay. And I think it's caused a lot of people to look up, God. And I think more people are willing to wait on the Lord now. Listen, I want you to know this morning that God's heart towards America is the same as the heart that he expressed toward David. You know God wants to stoop down. You know God hears our cries and God wants to move down and deliver us out of that pit, set our feet on the rock, establish our steps as a country. He wants to do that. And I believe the Lord is working. I am convinced that God is working through our president and through the leaders of our country in our noble effort to rid the world of terrorism. I'm all for that. In fact, President Bush has said that he actually feels like this is his calling in life. He actually feels like this is the reason he has been born, to go after terrorism. It's a divine call upon his life. And I'm behind him. Anything that we can do to rid the world of terrorism, make the world a safer place. And I think the Lord is moving in that. But listen, I also believe that at this time, it is essential that as a country, we begin singing a new song, a new tune. As a country, we need to let the Lord put a new song in our mouths. You know, for too long, we've been singing the song that Frank Sinatra made famous. I did it my way. Oh, barfo. Our country has been singing the praises of human achievement, materialistic wealth, an awesome economy. We've been singing the praises of our technological advances. And you know what? We have pushed God out of our schools, out of our government, out of our court systems, out of our communities. We haven't been singing His praises. And you know what? I think as the United States of America, we should sing a new song as a result of what's happened. A new song, one of praise to our God. That's one of the things I want you to think about as you go into this next year as a Christian and as a citizen of the United States of America. Sing a new song of praise to our God in this country. And I'm not talking about just singing praises like we did here on Sunday morning and how we do on Wednesday night and Tuesday nights. Sing a new song at work. Sing a new song at school. Sing a new song at your community. Sing the praise of God. And don't be embarrassed by it. Don't be bashful. Don't be worried about being politically incorrect. Our country needs God, the real God, the one true God right now. Let's sing praises to Him. Let us be those who truly live the song, God Bless America, and adhere to the Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation Under God, and live up to the motto on our currency, In God We Trust. Let's sing praises, a new song of praise to our God. And you know what? I would like to see many see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Wouldn't it be great to see the countries of the earth look to the United States and begin hearing a new song? You know, we've fed the world enough of our Hollywood filth, our materialistic mindset. Wouldn't it be great if the world began to start hearing the United States of America singing love songs to Jesus Christ? Songs of praise. Man, that's the new America we hear. Of course, that means you and I as individuals need to start singing a new song, doesn't it? We need to sing a song of praise this year, a new song of praise. I also want to apply these verses to the church, to us as God's people, to us as members of the church. I want you to know this morning that this last year has been a very difficult year for churches. And I may say that this morning because I have personal information about different churches that I'm aware of, and I've heard and seen some horrible things that have been going on in churches. It may be that I've just seen more of it personally this year, but I have this feeling in my gut that this last year Satan went on an all-out war against the church. I know of many churches where the sin of adultery has entered the leadership ranks, hurt the church, cause trouble. I have friends in the ministry who have told me that they have never experienced situations like they're experiencing right now. And let me tell you what, we felt the pressure here. We've had some incredibly tough things happen here. In the last 6 months, we've had more marital crises than we've had in the 4.5 years previously. In fact, my friend, if you're married, watch out. Satan's after marriages. You appreciate your husband. You appreciate your wife, and you appreciate your children, because watch out. Blink for a moment, and that can all be gone. We've seen other things, other tough things. And I'm telling you, in a sense, I feel like the church has kind of been in a pit, in miry clay. And I want you to know that the heart of God is the same towards the church as it was towards David. He wants to incline. He wants to stoop. He wants to hear our cries, and He wants to lift us out of the pit. And I believe that He wants to give His church a new song to sing this year, a song of praise to our God. And you know what type of song I'm getting at here this morning? I'm thinking of a song of outreach. You know, one of the greatest songs to sing of praise is to declare the gospel message to other people. I feel like Satan's been on the attack. You know what I think our best thing should do to do as a church and as the church in America? I think we should counterattack. I think we should go after him. Go after his kingdom and start reaching out to people in an offensive, aggressive way. Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Gates of hell will not prevail against us. You know, the vision at this church here at Calvary Chapel Sun City, we have a threefold vision: upreach, worshiping God, giving glory to God, seeking the Lord, praising Him, working on our relationship with Him. And then the second part is inreach. That is where we reach out to one another in the body of Christ. We love one another. We serve one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. And then the third thing is outreach, bringing the gospel message to the world, invading Satan's territory. And I got to tell you, I think as a church, we could do better in outreach. And I think as a church in 2002, I'd like to sing the outreach song. And so we're going to go on the radio in a week. That's just Christian radio, right, Terry? Yeah, but get behind it. Because we can go further with that. I'd like to take spots from it and actually do what we call God spots on secular radio stations. Wouldn't that be great? The folks listening to KLAQ get a God spot. Get more aggressive. As a church, I'd love to go out and do more outreaches like we did earlier last year at the plaza in downtown El Paso. And listen, or maybe be willing to drive across town to pick someone up to get them to church. Or to some outreach. You know, I believe that the church is like, we are like tools in the carpenter's workshop. Hammers and saws, and we all need to be working. I think we need to be used tools this year. I need people at this church to stand up who are willing to disciple new believers. I need those who would be willing to be counselors after the service with other people. Those who would be willing to go out on outreach and evangelistic methods. Missions. We're looking for that. I think we need to sing the song. I think we need to sing the hammer song. Be hammers for the Lord. Now, I'm not speaking of MC Hammer. He's a has-been. Be the hammer song. A tool in the hands of God. Outreach. Now, before we can sing new songs as a country, before we can sing new songs as a church, obviously we've got to sing new songs as people, as individuals. Some of you, this last year, have gone through some very, very difficult situations. You can totally relate when David says, "I'm in a pit. I can't get out of this pit." Maybe you've been in, your world has been shaken through circumstances beyond your control. A marital problem, a financial difficulty, a sickness of some sort. God wants to stoop, incline himself to you. He wants to get at your own level. And he hears your cries and he wants to work. And he wants to put a new song in your heart this year. And you know what? He may change the circumstance in your life, but he may not. He may want to change you. I was floored this week when I read what a man by the name of Tim Hansel wrote in the Christian Reader. Here's a man who'd been sick for many years, and he said, "I have prayed hundreds, if not thousands of times for the Lord to heal me. And he finally healed me of the need to be healed." Whoa. Wow. That's a new song. Remember, Paul the Apostle was a sick man. Not meaning insane, meaning sick and illness. He was unhealthy. He had what was called a thorn in the flesh. You remember that? Remember, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look, Paul the Apostle was in a pit. He was sick. And you know what? He continued to serve the Lord. He continued to go for it. That's a new song. That's a new perspective, isn't it? Now, maybe he will bring relief to your circumstances and there will be closure eventually. But maybe he wants to change your heart, do something fresh in your heart. Some of you here this morning are in a horrible pit called apathy. Called stagnation. Your walk with the Lord is not what it needs to be, and you know it. And the new song that you might need to sing in the year 2002 should go like this. Lord, I want to get to know you better this year than ever before. I want to really know you. I want to be committed to you. I want to learn about you. When I read your word this year, I don't want to just do it because I do it. I want to get to know you and I want to be committed. I found this cute little article. It's entitled The Diary of a Bible. If a Bible could write a diary, this is what it would say. January 15, been resting for a week. A few nights after the first of the year, my owner opened me, but no more. Another New Year's resolution gone wrong. February 3rd. Owner picked me up and rushed off to Sunday school. February 23rd, cleaning day, dusted and put back in my place. April 2nd, busy day, owner had to present the lesson at a church society meeting, quickly looked up a lot of references. May 5th, in grandma's lap again, such a comfortable place. May 9, she let a tear fall on John 14. May 10, grandma's gone, back in my old place. May 20, baby born, they wrote his name on one of my pages. July 1, packed in a suitcase, off for a vacation. July 20, still in the suitcase, almost everything else taken out. July 25th, home again, quite a journey, though I don't see why I went. August 16, cleaned again and put in a prominent place. The minister is to be here for dinner. August 20th, owner wrote grandma's death in my family record. He left his extra pair of glasses between my pages. December 31st, owner just found his glasses. Wonder if he will make any resolutions about me for the new year. As we read God's word this year, let's do it with a new perspective. Wanting to get to know God better. Maybe that's the song that you need to sing. Song of new commitment. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in the pit of hypocrisy. You are in a backslidden state. You have turned your back on the Lord. You're involved in things that you know you shouldn't be. My friend, there are muddy waters down there. That is a dangerous place to be. People lose their families down there. People lose all kinds of things precious to them down there. There's a new song that you need to sing, and that's called the Song of Repentance. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to ask forgiveness of what you've been doing. And you need to turn from your sin and walk with Him. You know, you need to sing the song that the prodigal son sang. I'm not going to eat this pig's food anymore. I'm going home to my dad. Go home to dad. Maybe you're here this morning and you could sing any of those songs. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, but Terry, I've made such a mess. I'm in such a mess right now. Self-created or not, I'm in this mess. What song can I sing? Listen, God can take your mess and turn it into a message. And turn you into a messenger. And you know what? The mess is often the best part of the message. Because you can tell people how God got you through it. You can sing a new song in your heart. Many will see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, look, I don't need just a new year. I need a new life. I don't need just a resolution. I need a revolution. I need a change in my heart. Maybe you've never had a relationship with God. Maybe you don't know this God. Maybe you've never gave much thought to God. There is a God who loves you, who made you and created you and has a special purpose for your life. The Bible teaches that every single human being was born into a pit, if you will. Miry clay. It's a pit of sin. We're all sinners. Sin is anything that would go contrary to the perfect standards of a holy God. The Bible teaches that because of sin, we can't have a relationship with this holy God. In fact, we deserve death. We're in a pit. And this is definitely a pit that you can't get out of by yourself. You can't save yourself from sin. You must have the Lord do it. And the Bible teaches that God stooped. He bended. And He did that in the most humble of ways. I'll talk about God stooping. He became a baby, born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger. How's that for stooping to our level? That's what we just celebrated last week. That was God stooping. God coming into our world to be our Savior. He grew up and He went to the cross and He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day, and listen, He can pull you out of the pit of sin. All you have to do is cry out. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to be your Savior. You will watch all things become brand new in your life. Your eyes will be opened. You'll sing a new song. It's called the Song of Salvation. Song of praise coming from know that you have just been saved from your sins. Has Jesus Christ ever been asked by you personally to be your Savior? A woman by the name of Elridge Cleaver. I love what she said. This is her testimony. She says, I'm just so glad I found the Lord. Jesus completely changed my life, saved my family, brought me back home. He gave me a new life and a new song to sing. If I had known this Jesus long ago, how different my life would have been. But it's beautiful. What if it hadn't happened to me? It's better late than never. As we go into this new year, do you right now, this morning, need to give your heart to the Savior? New songs to sing. A new song of praise as citizens of this country. A song of outreach as a church. Maybe a new song of joy. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Maybe you need to sing the new song of commitment. Maybe you need to sing the new song of repentance this year. And rededication. Or maybe you're here this morning and you need salvation. You know it. And you want your life to be changed. It can be from this point forward. I love what Sadie and Bessie Delaney said again in the Christian Reader. They said, see each day as a chance for something new to happen. Something you've never experienced before. Isn't that a great way to look at life? Every day's an adventure. New and exciting and fresh. And I believe that God has something new for us every day, not just every year. As we daily walk with Him.
You've been listening to Pastor Terry Gray with the conclusion of an important message about the opportunity that the new year brings. Whatever condition you find yourself in the end of 2002, remember the important points we've heard today from Terry Gray in the message, New Songs for a New Year. If you'd like to obtain a cassette or CD copy of this complete message, you can order one by calling 587-4008. The cost for each tape is $5, and that includes the cost of postage. Again, call 587-4008 and mention today's date or the message title, New Songs for a New Year. Perhaps you can think of someone who's struggling and would be encouraged by what you've heard today. A copy of this teaching would be an ideal gift. The number to call to order is 587-4008. We'll resume right here in our studies on Wednesday in the book of Colossians when we'll present the message, So Glad to Be Reconciled. This is Steve Ryman, and from my family and the staff of Summons and Calvary Chapel Sun City, I want to wish you a safe and grace-filled New Year's Eve. Summons is presented each weekday at this time by Calvary Chapel Sun City.